This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much, Paul. Very clear-cut. Highlighted, I think, what you expect. And I think that's a good distance away from what some of us might think is expected, and that's reassuring. We will have about 10, 12 minutes for questioning. So while you're thinking of your questioning, I'll just do Paul good grace, I suppose. I drew attention to everybody else's background. Paul has been an inspector since 2001, transferred into FE Funding Council Inspectorate, where he worked since its inception in 1993 in the Yorkshire and Humberside Regency. Principal Officer currently for FE, managing the National Inspection Programme and wider aspects of FE policy frameworks and guidance. Formerly a General Inspector Advisor for Local Education Authority, working across all phases of education. Was a teacher, later head of faculty in secondary schools in the London Borough of Haringey. So he walked the walk before he came in to look and see what others were doing in teaching and learning. Quite a lot came out of the presentations, certainly from my point of view, that this focus on passion, motivation, engagement, key points in teaching and learning. There was more than a claim, people saying, well, actually, it's not just about teaching, it's not just about learning. These two things interact. And in fact, currently, some of the work we're doing in Northern Ireland on an electronic individual learning programme is encouraging learners to reflect on their learning style. And it's quite surprising what's coming out of that. It encouraged me that young people actually are thinking about how they learn. And I suppose the point was brought home at the weekend whenever my young nephews and nieces, they're doing school exams this week, three per day. They're in first year. Parents, both one a teacher, one a former teacher, and they said, right, you need to put in some revision. And they go, how do we do that? And I'm thinking, yes, they haven't had a chance to think about how they learn. I know it's early days in their post-primary, but it brought home to me the value of encouraging learners to think about how they learn, because what that does, if you're a good teacher or tutor, is it allows you to adapt and to encourage yourself to get involved in your teaching style, to reflect on that and how you're going to provide the best experience for your learner. Hope those 2 minutes have allowed you to think of lots of questions for our panel. Say we've got about 10 or 12 minutes. So just to remind you, if you have a question, if you could indicate by putting your hand up, and whenever the microphone comes to you, if you could stand up, say who you are, and give the panel clearly the question. I'll take one to begin with, and then I'll take them in clusters of three. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Young, Lewisham College. I was just very interested in the debate going on, and the professor here, rightly in my view, talking about the holistic nature of learning, being at the centre of it, developing the learner, learn to learn. So the question is to the Ofsted inspector, would you recognise, you talk about attainment, would you recognise either explicitly or implicitly those skills being explored and developed during a lesson as being valuable outcome of that lesson?
I mean, the answer to that is absolutely. Can you hear me on the microphone? We would, and I think one thing that I think perhaps needs to be emphasised is clearly the vast majority of teaching that we see in further education is vocational. You know, I think the notion of exam factories to me is a bit distant. It's something that you might do in a, you know, in a grammar school. I mean, clearly GCSEs you might argue are exam factories, but clearly to the extent that most of the teaching and learning we see is practical, I think the more creatively it's undertaken, the better. I think my case was to say, I think we need to be a bit more creative in some of those practical areas I mentioned, hair and beauty and hairdresser and health and social care, to actually develop, you know, presentational self-confidence skills, you know, the key skills, but particularly communication skills. And I think the more creatively that's done through role plays and case studies and so on, then I think the better for those young people leaving in to work into employment. But I don't think we have any fixed templates, you know, for how learning should take place. So, you know, if that's a sort of perception of Ofsted, then I don't think in FE it's a correct one.
Thank you, gentlemen. Shirt. You'll forgive me, I'm colour blind, so if I get the colour of your shirt wrong.
Yellow.
Yeah. Hi there. Well, it was this morning. Am I blowing everybody's ears out with this? Hi there, I'm John Dent, Director of Quality and Innovations at Canterbury College. I've got a little challenge for you, for the panel, if I may. In the trades within our organisation, we've had historically a big challenge trying to get staff interested in developing exciting teaching and learning. In motor vehicle, recently, we've started to make some headway with that because we've introduced sort of motorsport and motorcycles into that area, and we've got some new staff who are interested in that, and we're starting racing cars at Lydon Race Circuit and so on. So that's going quite well. However, construction, plumbing and building services, we are talking there about, you know, the main body of the staff being people who have come to education through a very, very different route for the rest of the staff, perhaps in the organisation, not academics and so on. And I just wondered if the panel had any ideas about how we can try to engage them with the concept of developing exciting teaching and learning.
Take Bob first.
Can I just say, I've worked with a lot of construction motor vehicle departments, and I always distinguish between the practical lessons where they're actually at their best. And certainly when I work with senior managers, they tell me that, for example, this department, it's doing very well in its practicals, but it's actually dire in its teaching in the classroom. And therefore, I focus on that. And I actually believe that it's this team issue, that if you can actually create, for example, a training session on share techniques that you might use. So, for example, a conversation between a motor vehicle engineer and a customer about the kind of symptoms for a problem with my engine, and actually using technical terms and so on, that becomes actually a theory lesson, but in its more interesting way. Once you actually get a team together and share, and then get commitments from individuals within the team to try it with a class, this commitment, not to say we're doing everything, but every individual commits to trying one idea, then bringing the team back and sharing it, I found that actually people come back so enthused and say, that went really well, I got more participation than normal, they really enjoyed it, and someone else tries it. And for me, it's actually creating, first of all, the potential, then the time to plan it, and then the review. And that's why it's so important to me that senior managers are involved in training, because they're the people who empower that team to have 2 days together to do that. Because if they don't get time together, you can have as many training sessions as you like, and they leave, and 2 months later, nothing's happened. They went on a course, and it was the end of the course, and they carry on as before.
Frank?
I don't think the issue is all that different for people in vocational courses and, say, those in academic courses. You can be an excellent mathematician and still not realise that the job is about being good at teaching mathematics to students. The same problem is there. It's not just enough to be a first-class person in construction or in mathematics. The verb to teach takes an adjective, takes an accusative and a dative. You teach something to someone. When you're teaching construction to students, they have to understand something about the student body. They need to know something about young people and their development and all the rest of it. And I think you have to just be open with them and say, you've been brought in here because you're first class plasterers or painters or whatever it is. But there is another major, it's the dual professionalism that was mentioned by Trevor. There is another part of yourself that now needs to be developed. And I've watched a number of construction people who are actually are aware of this and are keen to learn. It's not that they are unwilling, but they have to be given the time and the resources and so on. And a lot of the theory in education, say, about participation fits vocational education very, very well.
Before I pass over to Paul, I think, Bob, the techniques that you described are some things that yes, there are useful techniques in any teaching and learning situation, but perhaps they need to be flagged up and tried out, talked about, so that the vocational tutors become more comfortable with trying out these techniques that are going to improve their performance. Paul?
Just to say, I remember very quickly that, interestingly, engineering is coming out as the by far and away the best performing subject area this year in our inspections, which is quite unusual, actually. But, I mean, I think if you want to look at good practice in engineering, read some Ofsted reports this year, because it's performing extremely well. But the other thing I would say is that this is just based on my own experience, but I think a good practitioner, somebody from the industry, and I think construction is an area I'd cite, I think can be quite inspirational to students, you know, because their techniques, you know, their knowledge of the industry, the knowledge of you know, the practice in construction, I think, you know, I've observed learners being inspired by that. And I think, you know, you've got to weigh that against perhaps their lack of professional expertise on the techniques of teaching. But construction is a practical vocational activity fundamentally. And I think we should have more practitioners. You know, I think in the Netherlands, 50% of the vocational teachers from industry, you know, seconded in. And that must be a good thing, surely, I would have thought, on balance. So, you know, I can only say that it isn't a minus point. From my perspective, if you get a very good practitioner, then I think that does a lot in terms of inspiring learners, and that must be a plus.
Time for another couple of questions before we move to our tea break, so try not to be too bashful. Yes, gentleman at the back. Lady at the back. Just saw the arm there.
Hello, Fiona Barclay from Colchester Institute. I'm involved with implementing functional skills across a large organisation, and as a result of a large pilot, it's transpired that a lot of members of staff, and many from vocational areas, are now also going to be encouraged to be involved in teaching functional skills. Have members of the panel got any suggestions or examples of ideas about how we can inspire and encourage staff to recognise how valuable it can be in respect of motivating and enabling learners to complete their courses if they do indeed develop their skills, but also the problem-solving aspects of it and being independent learners?
Well, if you...
I'll just make a quick comment, and that is, I mean, I was seconded for a while to the DTI to develop enterprise education, and one of the things we worked very hard on was to involve companies in actually setting problem-solving case studies and taking them into schools. And I just wonder whether, with, say, your local employers, you know, you can develop, particularly I'm thinking of communication here, some real case studies, bring them in, if you like, to present the case studies, but set them as problem-solving tasks for students in order to develop their communication skills. So you've got a real activity. I mean, I think it's true that in some of the key skills sessions, if they don't have that clear vocational context, then learners sometimes think, you know, what's the added value of this? But I think in terms of employer engagement, you know, if the Tescos of the world are to be believed and they're critical about, you know, the functional skills that people have, the basic skills that they're taking out, we'll get them involved. You know, I think Terry Lee, he has to put his money where his mouth is and say, well, you know, let's invite Tesco in. Let's see if we can set a problem-solving case study and get these learners involved and then ask for Tesco's view at the end of it. You know, in other words, I think it's taking learning out into the world of employment and trying to show its relevance to learners in terms of the key skills.
Bob?
It's a general comment, really, is that one of the saddest things I see is exam boards producing assessments based on things like missing word exercises, complete the sentence exercises, the short and interesting assessments. I've seen a motor vehicle assessment, maybe out of date now, but it was a few years ago in a Worcestershire college where they had to complete 10 missing words in a passage with 10 words missing and 10 a block of words at the bottom. And at the end, I felt I don't really want them working on my car because they were getting answers right without understanding why. And one of the things which I've pushed with all the sort of colleges I work with is to say, turn it into an activity where, for example, they have to use language in maybe in a letter or in a short report or a spoken activity or using ICT in the same way, but make the activity one where they have to process those words, that information, into some kind of skills activity which actually contributes to the functional skills agenda. So that in a catering course, for example, you may actually get students having to plan using a spreadsheet, maybe whatever, for a real event of some kind of event for where they've got to write a letter, they've actually got to talk to the client, they've got to actually produce a spreadsheet of the costs and so on. All of this rooted in their own subject area. And in the best colleges, that will be happening already, there's no doubt. But for me, it's contributing to the literacy and the speaking skills and the numeracy skills through your course rather than going on a course on core skills, which the students don't see any relationship. And that actually is once again about leadership, is making sure that the key skills, core skills people who may be working with construction or with motor vehicle or with hair and beauty, whatever, in order to identify and adapt activities and so on to incorporate these skills naturally as part of the course. And of course, I have to say that many colleges here will be saying, yeah, we've been doing that for years, but in some places they're not.
Thanks.
Just a quick word. The amount of research that's been done, say, on learning from students, what they think about the quality of teaching and learning in colleges, comes up with a number of very interesting conclusions. Number one is that most students think their teaching is really very good, with some exceptions. But when you turn to what they think could be improved, the number one issue that comes out from FE colleges, schools, primary and secondary, is this. The students still think they're too passive. Now, they don't use that phrase, but that's what they mean, that they're still stuck there receiving too much information in the way that you have this morning from us. It's still like 80% of the time is taken by the three people up here and, well under 10% of the time this morning. That's still the model in education. And the students themselves, if you ask them, have got endless good ideas that we could make this more interesting. They want debates, they want quizzes, they want all sorts of ideas, all the types of ideas that Rob was coming up with in his presentation. There are plenty of ideas of breaking up the concentration of endless 80-20% rule still works in education. 80% of the time is for the teacher, 20% for all the students to fight for.
And word with Paul.
Just want to just give you one example of this, the sort of best practice you see in action. There's a piece of software called Crazy Talk. I don't know if anyone here has ever come across it, but it's actually a piece of software that allows you to introduce a face. So you can take a face from Google, face of an engineer, a face of a character, a politician like Gordon Brown, for example. And what I did for the Essex Heads Conference, which I led 18 months ago, as I actually introduced, Gordon Brown introduced the conference, he came on screen and he actually speaks, because you record the voice and you put the voice into the face. Now the face speaks with your voice. Now if you actually get a group of students, for example, in motor vehicle, actually recording a conversation, okay, between an engineer, whatever, and this is what the customer is saying or the engineer is saying, they have to actually script it, they have to record it, they have to practice it, record it, and then it's this face talking to the audience. It's stunning, actually. The students really, really enjoy it. It's an ICT activity, it's a skills activity, having to script and then speak. So you've got the writing, you've got the speaking, you've got the ICT. And it's that kind of, when you show that to a group of staff, I worked with an art department recently, and they're now actually getting students to actually script Picasso talking about his art and his genre to the class, doing it. And we've got another drama department. It's actually one of the horror characters, I forget which actor it is now, is introducing the lesser names. He comes on screen, full screen of this actor, is saying, today you're going to learn about, and it's this fantastic voice describing what you're going to learn. The students are on board from the first seconds, but it's these sort of techniques that are there, but so many staff don't know about them, and we don't create the time and the teamwork to spread that best practice.
Thanks very much, Bob. Just a few housekeeping points again. The conference recording will be available free of charge as a podcast after noon tomorrow. Don't forget your evaluation form whenever you're leaving the conference around 4:30 this afternoon. Do go out and look at the stands of our supporters out in the foyer. That's the Association of Learning Providers, LSN, CFE 157 Group, and LEAB. You have been a marvellous audience so far. We've stuck pretty much to time. that 80-20 rule, I think, demands A, that you get your coffee and perhaps interact with our speakers. I'm sure they won't mind. If you could be back for 10 to 12, that's 11:50. And if you could just show your appreciation for our three keynote speakers, please.